Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
What you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, huh?
This episode was recorded before the restrictions were added. Please enjoy.
What is your favourite car?
My favourite? I've made you choose between your niece and your nephew.
Lenny keeps on going on about Lamborghinis because he loves to play on Gran Turismo every now and then. Because he's got his own profile on the PlayStation, and he hasn't played it as much as me, so he always goes on my profile because I've got a wealth of cars in my garage. I put garage in air commas because there's.
It's a virtual garage, yes.
Yes.
It's a virtual garage.
Fastest car in the game is the Bugatti Tomahawk. No, it's not a Bugatti, it's Dodge. A Dodge? Yeah, anyway, it's called the Tomahawk, and it has a top speed of 407 miles an hour with...
You're aware it's not a real car, right?
I know it's not. It's only a concept car.
I would bite my tongue now. I was like, you're aware it's not a real car.
So that's the one that he likes to drive, with DRS and anything, because...
Yeah,
and he likes to go on the so-called test track that they have there, which is like a 16-mile oval with like 12-mile straights.
That's actually a real track in Germany.
Mm. But he loves that. That's the one he likes. But anyway, he always likes... Oh, is that a Lamborghini? He's got a thing about Lamborghinis. I don't know where it's going from, probably watching YouTube and so forth. Say you actually had a driving licence.
I have a licence. Okay.
Yes, but you haven't. How many lessons have you had?
Well, if it weren't for lockdown, I'd be passed by now.
You can still do driving lessons now.
I can now if you started, but
in Clacton, they have reopened the test centre at last.
Getting away from the point.
What would be your dream car? And I'm talking about sports cars. I'm talking about anything you drive. Not one that you would buy for every day roundabout. Because if I had my ideal car for driving around town, I'd go and get Fiesta again. Or Corsa.
Which one getting? Which one I'm going to have? I've got a Ford Fiesta going my way.
Indeed. My second car I had was a Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. To be fair, I did love my 106. That was gorgeous. A little green fly. Mm.
Do you know it? I'm marking out down the hill with wind behind it.
Indeed. A12 coming out of Chelmsford. No, coming down the hill towards Chelmsford from Ingate. So, yeah.
Right.
But yes, anyway, what would be your ideal car to buy?
Okay, money's no object. I'd either buy a Ferrari re-Enzo so I could burn it.
Enzo? Oh, why?
Ferraris are not pretty cars.
But what about that colour car they had in Mugello for the Formula One?
That
was a stunning Ferrari. Is a Ferrari colour.
Yes, that is a Ferrari
colour. Ferrari racing.
But that's not the point right now, James McKay. Okay. We keep talking about Formula One and Grey will turn off. Okay, but in general, if I was to get... See, it depends. If you want one for driving racing around a track, you get an M3.
Yeah.
A classic M3, that's an amazing car.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've got a lot of the DB9.
Uh-huh.
Classic as well in its own right. New Jag's very nice. My inner object, a car I'd like to own. The Aston Martin DB5.
Stunning, isn't it?
Aston Martin DB5.
Beautiful.
Doesn't even come into question.
Yeah.
I think every Brit wants that car.
Yeah.
If you want to prove of this, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yep.
Okay. Now, bear in mind, if you're not a gamer, you've heard of that game.
Yeah.
You buy that game, there is a mission you can play as Franklin, where you have to go onto a movie set and steal that car.
Oh, wow.
It's called the JB007.
Yeah.
Obvious difference.
Yeah, sure.
It's got an ejector seat.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can't use in game itself.
That's a shame.
You can use it in the mission, that's it.
Yeah.
You've got machine guns.
Yeah.
And you've got caltrops. It drops to punch your tires and all that. Wonderful. When you finish the mission, it unlocks the car for you to buy.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
with all the gadgets removed.
Oh, what's the point in that?
That's my point.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Online, that's an offline mode.
Yeah.
In online mode, you can buy the same car.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, that's not ideal, but I've still got one. It's in the perfect colour and everything like that.
Drive
around it, it's beautiful. And then, about a year ago, maybe even a year and a half, they revealed, come on, that game is like nearly 7 years old now.
Yes.
The game came out when we were living together.
Yes, yeah, an old game, yeah.
Mm. And it's going to PS5 and Xbox Series X.
Okay.
So it's going to be on three generations of console. That's ridiculous. But that car was re-released with all weapons.
Oh, so I actually put the weapons on in the end.
You've got to buy it separately. That standard car, yeah. $350,000 in-game dollars.
Yeah.
That one, $2.5 million. But by that point, by the time it'll come out, everyone's already maxed out their money and everything. And as if you listen to Game Junkies, you'll have heard about the amount of money me and Alex have spent on that game, real world money, over the years. I exploited a flaw in the PayPal system. So I actually ended up getting quite a lot of in game money for no money at all. They've closed that loophole.
I bet you're not the only person that found it out.
Probably not, but I estimate that if I had paid for all legitimately, that would have been about £2,500.
Jesus Christ!
But I didn't. No. I have been close to £500.
Wow.
Of actual money on that game.
Now you see, in in-game purchases, I think I've probably spent a maximum of about £20 in my life.
Yeah. Bearing in mind, this is a warning to all parents out there listening as well. For heaven's sake, when you have children, set the console up so they need your permission to make in-game purchases.
Oh, we do. Don't worry about that. I do in my house anyway.
You do, yes. Because some people didn't do that, and during lockdown, they let their kids play on Fortnite, obviously. And obviously, their credit card details are attached to them, of course. And they rang up. One person might have a £5,000 bill.
I remember seeing it on the news, yeah.
I'm like, and Chris is a big proponent of not liking those sort of loot boxes in general, and, you know.
Yes, I mean, that's one of his first podcasts, and I wholeheartedly agree with him.
Mm.
I mean, if you're paying so much for a game, why should you have to pay more?
Absolutely.
That's always been my argument.
I actually was good. One of the things I actually have down to talk about video games in general, because video games, I want to know, in your opinion, can they have a positive effect on kids in the real world?
Depends on the game.
Hand-to-eye coordination, I think, much better.
Well,
let me put it this way.
I need to expand on that.
I will expand on that. Prime example of that is, and I'm going to use this as an example.
Mm.
Our auntie, may she rest.
Yes.
At one point, was being shown by our niece Chloe how to use an iPad.
Uh-huh.
Or a tablet, anyway.
Yeah.
And she was befuddled by it. Obviously, she was in her 90s.
Yeah, but it's something. It's recent technology that she wasn't used to.
Of course. But we didn't grow up with that technology. We've learned it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're at age we can learn no problem sort of thing.
Yeah.
But you touch anything and think. I mean, your children obviously have their tablets.
Oh, it was on them, yeah.
Absolutely. So, but saying that, the hand-to-hand coordination there is fantastic, obviously. When I started working at McDonald's, I was put on tills eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself quite quick at that because I used to play games a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I found myself quite good at that. So that's a real-world skill I actually learned because of that.
Okay.
Now you can learn real-world skills from gaming, in my opinion.
Right.
So people say, like, well, video games, all you ever do is teach you to kill people. I'm like, not necessarily. Well,
it all depends on the video game.
I will agree. As proven by the fact of, if you play Grand Theft Auto, you're going to learn how to kill people, rob a bank, gamble, and how to treat prostitutes.
Okay.
And don't tip.
Mm.
But as I say,
you know all about tipping, don't you, in America?
Let's not talk about that. But the but as an 18 game, obviously, so you're not going to go and buy it at Lenny, are you, for example?
No, definitely not.
But would you buy FIFA for him?
He already has FIFA.
FIFA, which is a plus free game, of course.
Yes.
And yet you can buy Luke, and yet you can buy Ultimate Team. Does he play Ultimate Team?
No.
Good.
He doesn't know how to play Ultimate Team. Good. He's not really that.
Don't teach him
that. He doesn't really play it that much, to be fair. He's not really a sporty kind.
Because if he was to, you can see it on all games nowadays, to be fair, James. Mm. Fortnite as well, especially. I don't know if he plays Fortnite, does he?
He does play Fortnite occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can buy stuff on there, obviously, as you know. And that at least you know what you're buying.
Mm.
Ultimate Team, you're buying, basically, and I quote EA as saying this, it's a surprise mechanic, like a Kinder Egg.
It's random. Exactly.
A bloody Kinder Egg is not going to cost. It's not going to cost you $5,000. Or if it is, you've been ripped off, mate.
Kinder Eggs are £1 off, isn't it? Free for £2 in Morrison's, I think.
Well, it's certainly not. It's certainly not a. Is it not $5,000?
No, definitely not.
Which is the most concerning part about it, because that is technically gambling.
It is gambling because it's a gamble about what you're going to get.
Exactly.
So of course it is.
It's rated free.
Yeah,
it's not free and up.
It's not buying a scratch card.
Basically, a toddler can play that game legally.
Yeah, toddlers are 3 years old, yeah. Our nephew is 3 years old.
Exactly. He, if they wanted to, he could play that with his dad, no problem.
Yeah.
He's his ultimate team. He could quite easily, when he gets like 5 or 6, what I mean, you're like, oh, I want that, I want Ronaldo, I want Messi. You want Mane and Salah, but you get end up going through that, and you probably end up.
Yeah, but it's a way to advertise as well. And instead of
you probably end up with what's his name? Put in with Klozniak, or probably end up with Pepe. Nothing saying they're not good players, but they're not who you want.
They're Premier League players, but they're FA Cup champions, Matthew.
But James, they are not.
But yes, I know what you mean.
They're not what you're expecting. You're paying, for example, if you're
the way it's advertised and sold to you is. You have a chance of this. So think, oh, I'm going to get that. Especially for the younger generation, a bit more naive. Oh, I totally agree.
Mm,
but that's what I don't agree with.
The worst part about it is when it advertises like a gold-rated player. Gold-rated player is anyone who's got a rating of 80 and above.
In any area? Yeah. In any attribute? Yeah, well, there you go.
No, 80 overall.
Oh, just over 80. That's quite a lot. That's pretty much the whole of the Premier League.
Let me put it this way. Saka, your player, yeah.
Kind of Saka, yeah.
Yeah, who's your number 7 this year, I believe. He's been promoted massively, lost 70 numbers.
Yeah, 77 to 7, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know what rating he is for FIFA 21 yet. Mine comes out on Friday, of course. Indeed. Time recording. Rating on this year's game is 67.
Okay.
He won't be this year, will he?
Well, no, you're looking probably high 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe 77. That's pretty ironic, couldn't it?
Yeah. Well, quickly, Zlatan Shaqiri has got a rating of 81.
Mm.
On FIFA 20.
Yeah. That'll probably go down. But his ratings probably go down because they don't play as
much. But the fact of the matter is, he's ranked 81.
Yeah.
And he's a bit popular. Divock Origi is ranked 80. Divock Origi, who is a cult hero to Liverpool fans, he's not our first team striker.
No.
Having said that, Kepa has got a rating of 87. So. But that's the problem, you see. You're expecting something and you're not getting that because it's a gamble.
Uh-huh.
And that's. But then getting a life lesson you learn there, you don't get what you want, to quote a U2 song.
Yeah.
But. Gambling on Grand Theft Auto. Yes. I mean, we used to play Vegas 8 back on SNES.
Crikey, yeah. Jeez, that's a long time.
That's available on Virtual Console. You can play that now. Mm-hmm. You can have a Switch now. Same game.
Uh-huh.
I still love it. But that game, you know what you're doing, but you're playing a gambling game.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto, you can go in there, you can play Blackjack, you can play the slot machine sort of things.
Yeah.
You can play virtual.
I love the way that you actually moved your arm as in you're using a one arm band.
You can do that, yeah. And you can play virtual horse racing as well.
Yeah.
And you can do that either in a private session or you can do it in a public lobby with other people next to you as well.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Wow.
No, it's scary because you can, because that casino is a real casino.
But it is.
And you can use real money in that casino.
Yeah.
But unlike FIFA, Grand Theft Auto limits the amount of money you can put into that casino one day.
That's good. That shows that that's their
Rockstar.
That's their responsible gambling.
Sort Rockstar of Games, who have a Scrooge McDuck money bin they swim around in. Let's face it, the amount of money they've made over the years.
Well, the amount of money they've made out of Grand Theft Auto alone, let alone anything
Grand
else.
Theft Auto 5, which has been out for nearly 7 years at that time of release, nearly 7 years.
Yeah.
Actually, over 7 years at this point. And it's been released so many times, it is still in the top 10.
That just shows success it's had. So that's why they're doing all these different things that they're bringing out.
All
the casino when they brought
that
out
all their DLC has been free. The whole lot been free. No Disney pay for
it.
Yeah,
it gets people buying it.
People buying the shark card and everything, obviously that's how they make their money, obviously.
Yeah, of course they do.
But the fact of the matter is that despite all that and the fact they want you to open your wallet and put more money in all the time.
Yeah.
They've got a conscience. EA don't.
I don't know what you want me to say here, I don't agree with you.
It's ridiculous is what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. So well, I think the best real-world skill you can learn from video games is don't gamble. When the fun stops, they say,
yeah,
in this country. But the fact of the matter is that kids don't know it's gambling.
No, they don't. They just see it as, oh, can I just borrow that? Can I just have that? The other day, it was, Dad, can I have some V-Bucks for Fortnite? I don't know. Well, why not? I said, if I buy you V-Bucks, you get no dinner tonight. That's a bit harsh, maybe saying it like that. But I was trying to put it in reality. It's money, and money is an object.
Mm. The thing is that with V-Bucks as well, for Fortnite, we will come off gaming in a second. V-Bucks is used to buy things for your character, obviously. Be it a backpack, sometimes a new skin for that character to wear.
This is different from, say, from your EA packs, where it could be your randomly get what you want. From what I understand, with what Lenny wanted to buy with this, is he would get a specific thing, and he knew what he was getting.
That's true. The difference is that
whether you agree with buying it or not.
No.
It's a thing.
That true. That you do know exactly what you're buying.
Yeah.
The difference here, and this is a big difference, is that the thing you get, and I'm not condoning this, obviously, the thing you get from the EA packs.
Yeah.
Is it potentially can improve your game. The stuff you're buying with the V-Bucks, and if you just buy the V-Bucks, it's with money.
Yeah.
And you spend those V-Bucks in the game to buy these bits, it's cosmetic. Doesn't improve the game at all.
Cool, sure.
So that one, you know what you're buying, does naffle to help the game. It's purely to look good.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes the game worse for you, because if you've got a hamster in the back of you, because you can get that hamster in the back of your backpack,
right, yeah.
Which makes a bit, and it makes noise. You can hear the noise of other players.
Okay.
So it actually gives away positions, it's actually worse.
Yeah.
At least when you're going from EA stuff, yes, you don't know what you get sometimes, but that could possibly improve your team.
Yeah. Pros and cons.
There are pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
A lot of cons to that, but we'll wrap up the video today and stuff here, because otherwise people will turn off. One of the things I want to ask you about is, we are in a wrestling universe, obviously.
Indeed.
Now, I've got a couple of things to ask you about. As of recording, we're recording on October 7th.
Is it the 7th?
I believe it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we're recording October 7th. In a month's time, it will be
November, December.
It'll be November.
Yeah.
Next month, it's 15 years since the passing of Eddie Guerrero.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Crazy. That's not quick.
Now, I remember this for two very good reasons. One is because when I heard about Eddie Guerrero passing away, I was inconsolable. I cried my eyes out the other day.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
He was 38 years old, which is only 2 years older than I am now.
It's not an age.
Obviously caused mainly because of the stresses from his drug abuse and etc. Yeah. When he was, before he cleaned his act up and found God and all this stuff, and you know, he did really well cleaning stuff up, but unfortunately his body didn't take too well to keep giving it, so unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing I remember about it so vividly is that Christmas I got one of the best presents in the world from you.
Did you?
I did. You bought me a DVD.
Did I?
You told me it was
this is a long time ago.
You told me it was the last one because of the editor just passed away. Cheating Death, Stealing Life, the Eddie Guerrero story.
Do you know what? I think I do actually remember that bit.
You bought me that, and when I opened that was the best present I got that year. It was a fantastic one. It really, really was. Eddie Guerrero is literally one of my heroes. I mean, his theme song is iconic, Mamacita, obviously, and obviously Viva la Raza, all that stuff. I mean, I don't know how much you remember about Eddie Guerrero personally, but do you remember how much about him?
Here and there. Yeah, I mean, because that was the time I actually used to watch wrestling around the Attitude Era and the buyout of WCW, Invasion.
Yes.
That's it.
Which Eddie missed because he was fired for his drug abuse and wouldn't have rehab at the time. And then came back a year later after it all blown over, pretty much.
Yeah.
And feuded RVD, which was a great rivalry, to be fair.
It was, yeah. He was a different character, wasn't he? A character that wasn't really... hasn't really been, copied or anything since, you know. It was unique. That's the word I'm looking for. Mm. And with the lying and the cheating and the stealing persona that he played... It was just something different, wasn't it? And people really warmed to it. Mm. And, you know, it was great.
Mm. And they culminated in 2004, of course, when he beat your boy Brock Lesnar.
Uh-huh.
He beat him with a DDT onto a championship belt and a frog splash. And then went to WrestleMania.
The only way he was going to be champion was with that ethos that he had of cheating. And I thought it was very fitting that he won it like that.
And then at WrestleMania, he beat possibly the greatest pure athlete ever in WWE history, Kurt Angle, to retain the championship by cheating.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That was his
whole mantra.
His mantra, exactly. He was always going to cheat, you know, whether you agree with it or not. That's just the way that's the story he had, and he played it so well.
I would always say that Eddie Guerrero, obviously
he had the talent to win legally and everything like that, but and it's just the way I just thought that character that he portrayed was, he played it brilliant.
Eddie Guerrero is someone who I can never be replaced, and we always knew would be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Always.
Did
he get into the Hall of Fame posthumously?
Posthumously.
Yeah.
Posthumously. He was inducted the next year, 2006, by his nephew Chavo, his best friend Rey Mysterio, and Chris Benoit. We don't talk about where we can help it, but the fact that he did induct him, and of course it was then accepted by his widow Vicky, who went on to have a career in WWE herself.
Indeed, yeah.
And then actually the ironic thing is that when it came to her last night in WWE, she was playing a heel all the time, Vicky, at the general manager, and her she was a little bit of an argument with Stephanie McMahon, who was also playing a heel.
Yeah.
And came down to Stephanie wanting to fire Vicky, and she actually said to Vicky, "You've been riding the coattails of your late husband Eddie Guerrero for years now."
Mm.
And as soon as Stephanie mentioned Eddie, the crowd started chanting, Eddie. And she said, Eddie may deserve that response, but you, Vicky, don't.
Mm.
We try to make you a diva, but you couldn't even do that.
Right.
And it's just little things for major barbs. And then
just turning the screw sort of thing. Yeah, playing it really well.
Yeah. Then Vicky said, like, Vicky was in challenge for a match, but Stephanie, to keep her job, she had to beat Stephanie. And basically, Vicky said, you ain't got the guts. About a fire, Vicky said, believe it or not, Stephanie, there's one name in this industry that people respect more than McMahon, and that is Guerrero. And if there's one thing that Eddie taught me, is how to lie, cheat, and steal. So if you will, excuse me. That was a catchphrase. Two words have never created an audience to scream at her so much. Yeah. But when she came out for the match, she came out to Viva La Raza. And the entire audience popped her to the ring. And then she lost the match because she was thrown into a bowl of pudding. It's a long story. Yeah. But anyway, so afterwards she was singing na 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 hey hey to Vicky.
Yeah.
And then Vicky threw her into it. Yeah. And as she walked up a ramp, she did Eddie Shuffle, covered in the muck. But she did Eddie Shuffle with the Viva La Raza playing, and she was given a standing ovation at the arena.
Oh, fantastic.
Because that means that she works for AEW now.
Right.
But she proved that day that she did that she worked so hard to get herself over. And the worst thing you can do in this industry, in wrestling industry,
yeah.
I've been to my fair share of live events, especially last year. If you get a cheer, that's fantastic. If you get booed, then that's fantastic as well.
Yeah.
But worst thing you can get, what do you think, James?
No response at all.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Crickets. Last thing you want. Because if you get crickets, what have you done?
Well, this is the thing.
No connection. No connection at all.
It's an entertainment industry. Okay, there's huge athleticism behind that. But the whole point of this wrestling, especially nowadays with what it is, it's all about entertainment.
Absolutely.
It's about people tuning into the telly to watch it and going there to enjoy the experience. And if you can't get over the heel, the face, whatever you want to call it, then you're not doing your job properly. It is a lot of acting behind it. I totally agree.
It is athletic theatre.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have seen your fair share of wrestling over the years, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'll remind you, one of the last events that we voted as MA, which is mature, not even 18, mature.
Right.
Was the Judgment Day 2004.
Okay.
This will mean nothing to you, probably.
Can't remember, I saw that.
You did not. The main event was JBL, which was Bradshaw, of the APA formerly.
Yeah.
In his new, you know, I'm a wrestling god.
Okay.
Persona.
Yeah.
Came to ring in the limo and everything, the whole works.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, against Eddie Guerrero.
Okay.
For the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero won by disqualification because he hit to JBL in the head.
Of course he did.
Eddie Guerrero won by DQ.
Yeah.
And retained the championship. Eddie Guerrero got hit in the head of a chair by JBL to cause a DQ. This is also the moment when WWE outlawed blading.
Blading.
Blading is something. Remember when Ric Flair used to wrestle? He used to get blood on all sorts of
things. Oh, right. He would
nick himself with a razor blade.
Usually
hidden in his table or something. Eddie nicked himself for the effect.
Yeah.
He caught an artery, didn't he?
Oh my god.
Literally.
Oh.
Yeah. Blood was everywhere at ringside. It was so graphic to watch.
Yeah.
When Graham's ever asked me for recommendation for Mason to watch, I've said, in terms of the spectacle, watch it. But don't let Mason watch it till he's much older and can appreciate it. Because the fact of the matter is that, I don't think appreciate is maybe the wrong word, but Eddie Guerrero went to bat for JBL that night because no one believed he was capable of being a main eventer.
Yeah.
Turned out to be one of the best main event heels of all time, JBL. Yeah. Problem is that no one gave him the time of day, but Eddie Guerrero, and JBL actually said this during his eulogy for Eddie on the memorial show.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero went to bat for me that night.
Yeah.
And every time Eddie got in the ring with anybody, no matter who you were, he would go to bat for you and he would sell you like a main eventer. The one exception to that I've ever seen, one exception ever I've ever seen, but he didn't do that, was one night stand 2005.
Okay.
Eddie Guerrero, this was the first ever ECW pay per view under WWE branding. That was. Right. I mean, one off match, one night stand. I called it.
The old bingo hall, whatever it was.
Hammerstein Ballroom. Yep. It was phenomenal. And then it all these ECW originals, people Mysterio was competing and everything.
Yeah.
Main event was Dudley Boys versus the Sandman and Tommy Dreamer. The bloodbath. Brilliant.
Proper ECW.
Absolutely. But ECW also had technical matches.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, probably they were a technical star. And one of the matches they had was Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Benoit.
Two of the most technical wrestlers I've ever seen. I mean, Chris Benoit, I thought, was actually probably the best wrestler as actually wrestling that I've ever seen in WWE. Mm. I remember a match that Benoit had. Was it Benoit against Jericho at Royal Rumble 2001?
Ladder match. Best ladder match I've ever seen in my life.
But the actual wrestling that went behind that, it was so technical. And I thought, you know what, this is actually wrestling. But they did it on an entertainment scale.
Mm.
And none of this fake hitting that you see and showmanship and over the top.
Benoit took a chair drop to the head from a suicide dive.
Yeah, there was stuff like that as well.
You can't fake that.
No, of course you can't. And that happened a lot in other matches as well. But I thought, as actual technical wrestling, I thought that was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen.
I remember you reacting to all the joke on top of the ladder as well.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I forgot about that.
You can actually hear the thoughts on that on Good Cop, Bad Cop from a few weeks ago, because Diesel came on to talk about the ladder match in general. Yeah. And that was one of his best cop moments. Because it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's one of the best ladder matches of all time. Unfortunately, people don't talk about it more. For obvious reasons.
Well, I think people should talk about Chris Benoit as a wrestler. And some of the wrestling that he's actually done, I think, stands out as some of the best matches in WWE history sometimes because of his wrestling ability.
Well, to paraphrase Paul Heyman, because people kept saying my boy when Benoit had mentioned when he was being talked about in an interview.
Yeah.
In terms of the ability, I'm on the top three people I've ever seen in the world, ever.
That's what I'm getting at.
As a human being, fuck him.
Totally agree.
Because three people died in that house that night. I don't care about CTE. That's what Heyman said. Three people died in that house.
Yeah.
Only one person had the choice behind it. And that's Heyman's words. Yep. And I fully agree with him. We could talk about his ability all day long.
I think the whole world's with you there, Matthew.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Well, some people aren't. Some people aren't still, but we'll leave that to one side. Talk about Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero that night, he did not. Apparently, Benoit was furious. Eddie Guerrero just said, like, he phoned it in. Eddie Guerrero never once in his career phoned one in. He did for ECW's biggest night ever.
Yeah.
Heyman was furious. Benoit was furious, and Guerrero never did again.
Yeah.
But in fairness, Guerrero only had, unfortunately, another 4 months on this planet.
Yeah.
Another thing Eddie Guerrero was involved in was another ladder match. He was involved in a ladder match with Rey Mysterio at SummerSlam 2005, where Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio took part in a ladder match for custody of Dominic. Dominic was Rey Mysterio's real life son, but his storyline was actually adopted from Eddie Guerrero. And in the
do you think this is where sometimes these storylines get far fetched?
It was ridiculous at the time. Yes. Well, in any case, in the briefcase was the custody papers, and Rey won the ladder match, and unfortunately, a few months later, Eddie passed away.
Yeah.
Well, fast forward 15 years, Dominic is now competing on Monday Night Raw.
Mm.
He's had a great teacher, obviously, his daddy, of course, Rey Mysterio. He's a fantastic, debut so far. He's been really, really impressive.
His career's been good, yeah.
He's lost more than he's won, but he's been more because of the heroic underdog, sort of thing, like his dad.
Okay, yeah.
But
he's
like 6'1".
Wow. Rey Mysterio's like 4'2".
Well, not quite, but about 5'7".
Tall man.
No, actually, but about 5'9", maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, the entire rest of your family's on TV right now, which is Ray. He's actually injured at the moment.
Okay. Have they ever tag teamed together?
Yes.
I was going to say, please say that.
Yeah, they have, and they won.
Yeah.
They won. Well, they've been fighting on three and against Seth Rollins, who is the Monday Night Messiah. He generally believes he's a higher power.
Right, okay.
Generally believe it. He's got a disciple called Murphy.
Right.
Now, the reason I bring this up is I want your opinion about this, because you haven't seen this.
No.
Okay. On TV, we have seen Murphy, who is the disciple of Seth Rollins. He has been having... It looks like they're getting romantically close with Rey Mysterio's daughter.
Okay.
Who is Dominic's sister, of course.
Yeah.
Buddy Murphy is 31.
Okay.
Aaliyah is 19.
Okay.
Now, that is perfectly legal.
Yeah.
Obviously. If it is the case.
Uh-huh.
People are saying, no, it's too much of an age difference. Now, putting aside this wrestling scenario, okay, so first of all, they're not a relationship, okay? Buddy Murphy's got a girlfriend, we already know this, okay? Alexa Bliss, one of the finest female competitors in the business.
Yeah.
Okay? Everyone in this is consenting, it's a storyline. Yeah. Everyone accepts this. Everyone should accept this. People say, no, that an age gap like that is wrong.
Okay.
I put it to you, it's not. Is this right? I'll be all right about this. Is 12 years too much of an age gap in a relationship?
I think it all depends on the age of the people involved. Sometimes, but we say this, but the older you get, the age difference doesn't make a difference. Is it because she's so young, and he's 30-odd?
Yeah. I'll put it in the context for you.
I mean,
you won't know these people about talk about, but Kelly,
right?
She debuted in ECW when it relaunched in 2006.
Right.
She was 19 years old and quote an exhibitionist.
Okay.
You know what that is, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Her on-screen boyfriend was Mike Knox.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Knox was nearly 40.
Okay. So double age. Okay.
So people shouldn't be making accusations because it's a storyline.
Yeah.
Because this happened before, there were no problem back then.
Yeah.
Now, people saying like, speaking out movement, it'll be taking a lot of traction recently about people abusing young women and young men for that matter.
Yeah. And
it's right, they're being held to account. In the real world, I'm going to use an example right now. Tom Daly and his husband.
Okay.
I believe Lance is in his 40s.
Yeah.
And Tom Daly is in his early to mid-20s.
Okay.
So there's 20 years difference there, give or take. They're perfectly happy, they're in love, and they're fine.
Yeah.
No real problem with that.
No.
Unless you're homophobic, of course.
But is that because he's in his mid-20s?
But I think it was maybe 20, 21 at the time.
The problem which some people have with age differences is the younger age. Not necessarily the age gap, it's how young the youngest person is. I say, for example, I'm 34. Mm-hmm. I get with someone who's in their 40s,
mm-hmm.
Middle to late 40s. People wouldn't see an issue with that. But if I got someone who was 19, 20, the difference is it's the younger person. And maybe it's the maturity level of the younger person. I don't know.
Or the immaturity, perhaps.
Or the immaturity, exactly. I don't know, the maturity level. For me, I wouldn't have a problem with it as long as they know sort of what they're doing, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's unless you're actually involved with those people, it's very hard to make the judgment.
Or got my opinion of if everyone is legally allowed and it's perfectly consensual, I've got a problem with it.
I haven't got a problem with it at all.
And especially not when you see it's only a storm on Blade TV. It's no different. Professional wrestling is no different in terms of
storyline. It shouldn't make a difference whatsoever. If that was, say, your son or daughter, then you would maybe have a opinion.
Let me put it this way. I'm sure you've seen on TV shows, not too dissimilar. I mean, for example, like Law and Order, I'm getting it done at some point. EastEnders, I'm sure, has, and Coronation Street have done relationship with differences.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. People, I'm pretty sure, don't have a problem with certain relationships on there.
No.
I'm like, that's a TV show. And I actually had this argument at work the other week, actually. Because, like, why would you work professional thing? Or why would you watch something that's already predetermined? Why would you watch something that's fixed? Why, then it's all really scripted? I'm like, you watch Coronation Street.
It's entertainment.
You watch Coronation Street. Like, yeah, but it's not that, is it? Like,
you watch it for the entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's entertainment. Not, it's, you watch it for the entertainment.
Absolutely.
If you want to watch it for the wrestling sort of thing, you would watch professional wrestling. Or world of sports sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? You know, amateur stuff.
Professional wrestling, James, is what WWE, AEW, and all the independents, yeah. Which is fantastic, of course. And there's a plethora of great podcasts out there that you should listen to, like that. Good Cop, Bad Cop. Definitely to hear all the latest stuff about that. And, yeah. And
MGB. Never heard of it.
And the MGB Wrestling Podcast, of course, which is great for the indie stuff, of course.
Yeah.
You watch this stuff, and it'll draw you in.
Yeah.
And I personally can't stand watching soap operas, but I get plenty of that watching it WWE anyway.
Well, it's storylines, it's entertainment. That's what it is. And if you like that, you like that.
Exactly. It's
excuse me. And if you're watching any serial drama, for example, I mean, I've been watching recent episodes of The Bill.
Mm.
I would say recent episodes from about 15 years ago.
Mm. You've recently been watching it.
Yeah, but it's a storyline. It's entertainment.
Okay, so, but the difference with, like, WWE, for example, is that when you want to go and watch something, for example, like, you want to watch, like, The Bill, for example,
yeah.
That's already been pre-recorded.
Yep.
Okay, that's all recorded and everything ahead of time. When that is released, I mean, Game of Thrones, for example, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
People weren't happy with the final season.
Still serial drama.
People weren't happy with the ending, though, were they? From what accounts.
No.
The difference is when that came out, that was all done loads ahead of time. They couldn't change that. But all this had been recorded in the can, done that. Professional wrestling, it's done week by week.
Yeah.
If something's not getting over, they can change it like that.
Of course, can, yeah.
You can't do that with Game of Thrones. You can't do that with The Bill. You can't do that with Coronation Street.
No.
Well, actually saying that, they have changed certain things recently. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's by the by. Yeah. There's certain things that you can't change.
Yeah. That's the beauty of recording it so little in advance, sort of thing. You can react.
When they record it in advance, they literally record it, they show Raw and SmackDown live, of course.
Yeah.
Because they're going to now in the...
Yeah, but what I mean is they can react to the storylines very quickly.
Absolutely.
One example of that was with the Kofi Kingston, wasn't it? I don't think they was going to go with that.
No, the original plan
with
was
that way of him becoming champion.
The original plan was Mustafa was the push that Kingston got was meant to go to Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Who has just recently been revealed as the leader of Retribution, which will mean nothing to you. But basically they're like this anti WWE faction who made itself known by coming by trashing the ringside area and taking a chainsaw to the ring.
Is that another storyline?
It was a storyline.
Yeah.
But that was exciting. Mustafa Ali is now the leader of that faction team, and that's a push that he desperately needs.
Okay, yeah.
But Kofi Kingston were put in there just for the high spots, as it were. I ended up watching him at WrestleMania win the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
And I was so happy.
But that's a perfect example of, like you say, reacting.
Changing it on the fly.
Because they can.
Yeah. Mm. There's been a lot of things. I don't know, for example, with a Royal Rumble in 2005. John Cena and Batista were last two in.
Yeah.
Both fell out of the ring at the exact same time.
Oh, yeah.
It was not meant to happen.
No.
Now, when you see them land at the same time, you think, well, that's perfectly planned. And then you see Vince marching down the aisle. And he was furious.
Yeah, and is that Tommy Toy's leg battles?
He climbed into the ring, and as he was trying to stand up, he tore both quads.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't stretched.
Well, he wasn't expecting it. He wasn't expecting to go out, was he? No. Because he powered out like he normally does.
Yeah,
which he had to for effect.
So while they resumed the match and they were doing it on the fly, referees quickly on the fly, sorting that, Edge was walking to the back, the penultimate person eliminated.
Yeah.
And he's saying, everyone get out of the way, Vince has got to come back through here.
Yeah.
Heaven help him getting in his way, sort of thing. He would have fired someone probably if he'd been the way. He was put in a limo and taken straight to the hospital and had his legs repaired surgically. That man's a lunatic.
Yeah.
But, as proven, with swimming on a flight, probably on with COVID-19.
Yeah.
This year has been devastating to the sporting calendar across all sports. We've talked about it before.
The whole world, yeah.
Wrestling, especially. The Independence, all shut down. WrestleMania weekend. WrestleMania, set a new record for zero attendance. Obviously. But, no one thought, oh, this is going to be a terrible show. It's a terrible show. Two nights, no fans. Terrible idea.
Yeah, but
turned out to be one of the best things, because Vince is back, and you can say what you want about Vince, man, and people do.
Yeah.
Vince is back against that wall.
Yeah. But they had an opportunity to create a theatre and a storyline which they've never really been able to do before, because for example, if something did get botched, they could refilm it.
The beauty of the cinematic match
was it more like a film?
That is a cinematic matches. Yeah, absolutely. As proven by the fact of a month or so later, had Money in the Bank. The corporate Money in the Bank ladder match where they were
at the top of the building, top of the building or something. Wasn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah. But they had a film there, they had little cameo appearances from Brother Love and Doink the Clown and things like that. Doink the Clown, Percy played already, he had died. But, it was a fun little spot. Yeah. That
it's
thing.
Things that they hadn't been able to do before, and the ideas that can come into your head from that are sometimes limitless.
If I have told you that at the age of 50 plus, The Undertaker was going to main event WrestleMania Night 1, and look, $1 million. You might believe me.
Yeah.
But
in that scenario, they can do that. I mean, for example, if you look at the match, I haven't seen it, but from what I've heard, the match that he had at in Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
It was cringeworthy.
It wasn't cringeworthy, it was dangerous.
Yeah, because you had 2 50-year-olds. Doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing.
No.
But when you have the cinematic side of it at WrestleMania, it's how you do it, and it can it can earn $1 million.
Yeah, it also helped the AJ Styles bump from like crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that they held it in a graveyard as well, it worked really well. And Taker got a ride off into sunset on his motorbike, American badass.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless.
It's like cement matches are designed for that very purpose, and this year Vince McMahon, he's wanted to do this for years, I suspect, but he's never been able to.
No,
that would not have worked in an arena, never in a million years. No,
it's making the most of the opportunity.
Absolutely, and the John Cena versus Bray Wyatt match, which was a mind melt of a match, it wasn't really a match. It was more of a cinematic movie in general.
There's a lot of mind games in it and stuff like that, weren't it? Leading up to an episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that's the Fiend's character in general, and it works quite well with an audience. Works well without an audience.
Yeah,
it worked really well. And
when I first started doing that, was it Firefly Funhouse? They started off with that, and obviously with the cinematic stuff, they can just go over with it.
Absolutely. Cinematic matches save WrestleMania. Not all of them have worked. AEW done a few as well. They had the Stadium Stampede match where they took part at Tony's Place, which is obviously where the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Where they play. They've moved all their production there. And, you know, some things work, some things don't. There's been some smash matches that haven't worked.
It's going to be good or bad, yeah.
They had a swamp match between Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. More bizarre than anything else.
I was going to say, this sounds a bit weird.
It was called the Horror Show Extreme Rules. It was bizarre. I watched it live with Graham at the same time. I watched it live and we're like, weird. But at the same time, instead of having like 5-hour epic pay-per-view cards, it was perfectly tight, 2.5 hours.
Mm.
And that was perfectly consumable.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah, that's what you want. I mean, how long was WrestleMania when you went there?
When I went there, we turned up. We were in our seats by about 5:15 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That was halfway through the first match on the pre-show.
Okay.
The pre-show...
So you're looking at about 5:00 it started.
Yeah, that's when the pre-show started.
Yeah.
The main show went on the air at 7:00.
Yeah.
We got out of there at 5:30.
That's 7 hours.
And that was the problem, you see. It's getting longer and longer as well.
Yeah.
Because that's why they've been talking about doing the 2-day thing for several years.
It's because they want to do so much into it.
Mm.
And they can't necessarily shorten things down because they've got so much to explain, so much to do.
Mm. The two-day thing worked really well this year.
Yeah.
Really well this year.
And it may be something they do in the future when they go back to arenas to do over 2 days, maybe. But I think if they get more money out of it.
That's the problem, that's the you thing. See, because if you're going to go, you're not going to go for 1 day, are you?
Well, that's the thing. You want to make the whole weekend out of it.
But that's where I'm guessing if you go for one night, it's one price. If you go for another night, it's that price. Going both together, you get a discount, maybe.
It's like a 2-day festival sort of thing. Oh, it's like a festival, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's like, for example, when I moved to do Formula One before, James, you did the whole weekend, you get a discount for getting all three together sort of thing. That sort of thing. I dare say that, you know, I mean, you've been to festivals.
One festival.
You've been to festival.
Yeah.
And I'm sure...
I only got a day ticket, but yeah.
No, I'm sure that... For the whole weekend sort of thing, it was cheaper and buying.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, yeah. You got to scan.
I dare say they could do the same sort of thing.
Yeah, of course they could.
So I know that when me and Graham went to the collective performances at went to all the events, all six, I think it was maybe eight, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Then you would have saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
But we couldn't get on the Thursday, so we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And also, so
yeah.
Mental people hanging from the ceiling. Literally, it was an amazing event.
Yeah.
They packed them in like. Sardines in that place.
Yeah,
no,
they will do.
You couldn't have done that during in COVID times.
No, right. Of course not.
Even outside, they're doing it in this month. It's an outdoor event.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't be comfortable going to it though.
Mm.
But when you've been cooped up for so long, you're tempted to.
Yeah, totally.
But that's another thing though. People have been embracing outdoor events, but as we're getting towards winter now. It's not going to be the thing they do because you can't count on rain and things like that because we've experienced that thanks to MGB doing the watch-alongs.
Yeah.
People have been... we learned that some events have had to stop due to rain.
Well, this is it.
And thunderstorms.
Exactly.
And in America, their thunderstorms are ferocious. Trust me on that one.
Especially on the East Coast at this time of year.
Well, I've been in Florida during a rainstorm and I'm glad I got inside before the thunder came.
What time of year did you go?
November.
It was November. Yeah, it was hurricane season.
I remember. It was, I think it was like 2 weeks after the hurricane that had threatened Florida. And
it's hurricane season for the whole of the Atlantic, isn't it? I mean, we get storms over here as well this time of year.
Exactly.
The Great Storm of 87.
You remember that?
Was in October.
You were
I know, I don't remember it, but it was in October. I'm saying it's in the autumn, and that is the stormy time of year, so.
It was eventful.
Yeah.
Anything else come to mind, James?
Yeah.
Clearly your list are you down.
Yeah. Got a lot of dead air to cut out of this.
That's okay.
Am I looking?
No. We're really glad that you're our friend. This is a friendship that'll never ever end.
Wow. Is that from Toy Story?
No. That's the Firefly Funhouse theme song.
Oh, is it? Okay.
When you put that into YouTube... Your recommendations for things like Go-Jetters and all that sort of stuff from YouTube.
Go-Jetters?
Yeah, theme songs.
Okay, alright, yeah.
Problem is that because obviously it analyses what the sort of music is.
Yeah.
But the song for Five Up and Fouls, it's a cult.
Yeah, it is.
A cult.
Yeah.
YouTube really misjudged their algorithm on that one.
Mm.
But anyway, yes. So what's your subject of choice?
Well, I've got something written down here about TV shows.
Yes.
Or films.
One of our favourite subjects, James. Go on.
Indeed. There are various TV shows we've talked about in the past.
Mm.
What are your favourite ones that you can quote word for word?
I know
one definitely will come to your mind. It would be something like Fawlty Towers or something.
Well, not as much. Not
necessarily
every single scene. There are certain scenes you can do word for word, and
yeah.
I mean, I know I said that Dad's Army is my favourite comedy of all time, and I will find one who says otherwise. it's certain scenes I love, but I can't quote.
Okay.
For example, open 2-3, up 2-3, bang 2-3, bang 2-3.
Open 2-3, up 2-3, and, and the sound from the audience is fantastic.
And that's a live audience as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's what could crack a toe in or something at present? Those sorts of things.
Yes. Certain scenes. Yes.
I know. I like to think there's some things which can be quoted, Jane, which aren't necessarily you picked me today. For example, Barnes, Andy hanging on for man of the match. Barnes, Rush, Barnes, still John Barnes, Collymore closing in. Liverpool lead in stoppage time. Kevin Keegan hangs his head. He's devastated.
Yeah, I could go with another one now, which I'm sure you don't want me to go through.
Go ahead.
Bold to Adams. Thomas through the middle. Thomas, it's up for grabs now.
Absolutely.
But it's the same sort of thing. Not quite. You just won a match, we won a title.
Another one. Martin Keown, chipping the ball forward. Tony Adams, would you believe it?
It was Steve Bold.
Was it?
It was Steve Bold again, yeah.
Okay. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Indeed.
Sometimes it is important things which can be done. Mm. No more so than...
Well, it's just classic commentary, isn't
it? Lovely cushion header. For Gerrard!
Oh, you beauty!
What a hit, son! What a hit! Because it was...
It was the importance of it.
It was important. It's important. So many goals have been so crucial.
Mm.
Gerrard's goal there, of course. And of course, there is also... what people forget, of course, talking about football, well, briefly on subject here.
Yeah.
Liverpool, we came out from 3-0 down in the Champions League final, of course. Mm-hmm. How many penalties did Liverpool score that night?
Five?
Three?
How much did you win penalty then? Oh, yeah, because you missed the... Jared Onsa missed a penalty, didn't he?
No.
It was saved,
James. Sorry, yes. A miss means he missed the target.
Yes, I know. I totally agree with you there.
Keeper had to save it.
Yeah.
As proven by the fact that Jordan Henderson did not miss against Colombia, it was well saved by...
We won the shootout, so I don't even remember that.
No, you didn't watch it.
Well, I was on the way to work. I was actually working nights.
I offered you to watch it with me afterwards, but never mind. We'll get on for that.
It doesn't matter.
But it's iconic moments. The fact of the matter is that Shevchenko, when he stepped up, he had the mid penalties.
He didn't look confident, did he?
But step up, and I had Shevchenko, and when it was saved, literally the commentary from the club was like, he saved it!
Mm.
The European Cup is returning to England and to Anfield! I'm aware about something that you've never heard Arsenal go through. But
your day may come one day. We had our opportunities 2006. The year after, we should have won. We had so many chances. We were down to 10 men. And we was 1-0 up. And we had so many opportunities. Their keeper helped them. I can't remember who the keeper was that day. But we had the opportunity to win it. And then Henrik Larsson came on and just changed the game.
James.
Of all the people, you had Messi on the pitch, you had Eto'o, you had Ronaldinho, but it was Henrik Larsson, the old man, who changed the game, playing quarterback basically, just feeding passes through for Eto'o and Belletti. Difference maker.
Fact matter is that something like that put memories into your head because it's engraved into us as sports fans. Mm. I mean, for example, Damon Hill winning the Grand Prix in 96 in Japan.
Mm.
It's blazing in my head. I've got to stop because I've got a lump in my throat.
Mm.
First race I ever saw.
It was.
But those were ingrained in my head because of it. And of course, one of my mum's favourite phrases is, Aguero! Is it his goal or is it the...
Was it the commentary?
Was it the commentary?
Both, really. Because the commentary is part of the action.
Yeah, but which is more important to that moment? I think Martin Tyler, his name is passed over so many moments.
I think the commentary is so important, especially in moments like that.
For example, if you compare for people over the years who've done commentary for certain things, and I'll apply that to wrestling as well in a moment.
Yeah.
You've got...
Well, I remember growing up watching wrestling, Jim Ross, you know, his commentary, as much as you don't like him now or whatever, the commentary that he did at the time was iconic. And somebody regards that all of the commentators made at certain times to be iconic for certain situations.
To quote Mick Foley, you could have the Giants win the pennant. He will take, as God is my witness, he is broken in half as the greatest sports call ever made.
Exactly. It's stuff like that.
Tyson, right hand, down goes Michaels.
Yeah, it's certain people. It could be any commentator from any sport. It doesn't matter.
The Austin era has begun. You know, his voice is plastered over so many moments.
Yeah.
And, by example, but when you have different people coming out in the same moment, you notice just how important the moment is, have the right commentary. Prime example with, I'm going to use the 2006 FA Cup.
Oh, yes. You've got Martin Tyler.
You've got John Motson. Gerard!
Yeah.
And same thing as looking for Martin Tyler, the passion there. And then you've got Gerald Sinsat.
Gerard? He scored. And it was just like that. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's.
That's a face palm, by the way, because I took my glasses off as well.
Yes. Commentary is very important, or play-by-play, whatever you want to call it.
It's
so important in everything. I mean, I was watching some American football years ago. It was a playoff game. Minnesota beat the Saints in the last minute. Stephon Diggs caught a pass and ran it in, and it was the underdog winning, and it was just fantastic. The commentary and everything that happened in the stadium, it was fantastic. But it applies to all sports.
It does. In terms of the TV shows, though, because that's what you originally asked me.
Yeah.
Nothing really stands out apart from, you know, I've quoted comedy themes, of course.
What about from the t-shirt that you're donning right now, Toy Story.
But there's still films I can quote from, obviously.
Yes.
For example, you talking to me? Anybody else here? You might be talking to me. To infinity and beyond.
Yeah.
Thing like that. People can quote these sorts of things to the cows come home.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll know this reference.
Fucking it's pressure here.
Okay, hope you know this reference. Literally, it requires the build up of the music, obviously, which I'm not going to play for legal reasons, because this one will be copyrighted if I do. Lots of a whole army behind you sort of thing, wearing blue and white stripes, a big shield in his arm. Avengers! Assemble!
I've never seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Endgame had one of the best ever coders ever, because it was the ultimate crossover.
Yeah.
Everything was in it. Everything, even Howard the Duck was in it. Howard the Duck.
Do you know what? I've actually played as Howard the Duck in Lenny's Marvel game.
Yeah. So, yeah. Howard the Duck actually appears through one of the portals in the actual film.
Right, sir.
If you ever want proof of how much people love that film, I implore anyone listening as well to do the same thing. Go onto YouTube and just look for Endgame audience reactions, and you'll hear how much they cheer and cry for when, spoiler, Mr. Stark dies. Okay, and that's not a spoiler. It's been out a year.
It's been out more than a year and a half. I was on nights. Yeah, I was on nights when it came out, and I've been off nights for about a year and a half.
Therefore, a year and a half, it was amazing. I went to see it the day it came out in the UK. I was there for it. Me and Chris watched it live.
Yeah.
I cried. There'd be spoilers here for you, but if you haven't watched it by this point, spoilers are ahead. I cried when Black Widow died, because I didn't want her to die. I cried when Iron Man died, we all did, but I also punched the air when the A-Force moment happened, which is when Spider-Man says to Captain Marvel, who of course is the
kid,
said, like, the massive army in front, like, I don't know how you get through all that. So then, and then some more of a female character arrived, like, don't worry, she's got help. And then, literally, all of the powerful female characters, really strong female characters, all together, and they just, like, all appear together, and they all just massively attack at the same time. It was a moment.
Yeah.
People say, like, oh, what did you do that for? Rah, rah, rah. That never happens in the comics. The A-Force, as it's called, because that's what women are all about.
Yeah.
Happened in the comics years ago.
Yeah.
It's a happened thing.
Yeah, but you also got to know it's not just all about comics. If this is a film, they're doing it for film cinematography.
True, purposes. But they also use those as a good base to work from.
Oh, yeah.
So what they did with that was they paid homage to the comics whilst honouring the present as well, which is really good as well.
Tasteful.
But also the late Chadwick Boseman, of course, who played Black Panther. Obviously, he wasn't in as much because since then he had cancer, of course, which is why he wasn't in it quite as much as everyone thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
He did have some iconic moments, obviously. Wakanda forever!
Mm.
Obviously. And he will pay. Mm. He will pay! It's little things like that which incite you to actually embrace your true inner hero.
Yeah.
You know, it's words. That's great when that happens like that.
Specific movie quotes.
Movie quotes, catchphrases. I mean, one of your favourite actors, of course, is Martin Freeman.
yeah.
He's actually in Black Panther.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I think he's actually the only... I don't think I've meant the many at all, innit? I think he's the only white character in the actual film.
Oh, really?
They're not many, if more than that, if any at all.
Yeah.
And that is the... And that's... To show how important that film was, I mentioned it before, Google Backup. That's the first superhero film of note to be nominated for best film at the Oscars.
Oh, wow.
That's how huge that is. And inspiring.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if anyone knows the thing like I'm going to say quote word for word. I can't.
Okay.
I can't quote word for word. I couldn't do it justice if I could.
Yeah.
But that, as an inspirational moment... It's something that people in the future will be looking to for inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be massively credible in the future, especially now that he's passed away, of course.
Yeah.
You've asked me that question. What about you?
It would have to be Toy Story, to be fair. That's probably the only one I could probably... I wouldn't say nail down 100%, but very, very close to getting word for word.
Okay.
The original Toy Story 1. Well, Toy Story 2 I'd be pretty close with as well. Toy Story 4 was awful, don't talk about that.
Okay.
Have you seen Toy Story 4?
I have.
Well, and your thoughts?
I cried.
I thought it was pathetic.
We have discussed this before on this show.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Why
did you... It just... The whole ethos of Woody was no toy gets left behind. And he buggers off.
But he'd fired... But
no!
If you've... At the end of the film, they say, like, he's not lost anymore. He lost his purpose, which was Andy. His purpose then was to help other toys find homes. And he's back with Bo where he belonged.
No.
You're entitled to your opinion, even if it's wrong. Okay.
No, I didn't like it. I sort of understood it, but I didn't like it.
Okay. Well, that is entirely your opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand the way they went for it, but I didn't like it.
Well, that's entirely your decision, Jayden. Yeah. Even how wrong you are about it, and you're massively wrong about it, it's my personal opinion that you are wrong.
Okay.
I cried because I found it very sad. Mm-hmm. I dare say in the future, Onward will become a film that I'll quote quite a lot. It's a good film.
Onwards? I haven't seen that yet.
It's on Disney Plus now, I believe.
Oh, I haven't got Disney Plus.
If you watch it, you'll never get it. Then you're fit.
What's that about?
Disney Plus.
Is that the one about... No, Onward. Is that about unicorns?
No.
What was it about?
Onward is about two brothers trying to see their dad again.
Oh. What was your thinking of it?
Trolls.
No. I could probably name that word for word, to be fair, now I've watched that with Lucy. Jesus Christ.
Right, so another episode comes to a close then, James. Thank you again for
you're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Oh, it's always nice to chat with you. I mean, we endeavour to do this more often, of course, keep our vendetta up to do more shows.
Indeed.
I dare say you'll be back very soon. You're still at JBlues86, I believe.
Currently, unless I decide to change my Twitter handle in the future, but I don't intend to.
Okay, good. Obviously find the show at Willis Boys Talk and myself at the Mad Tech UK. All the shows across Visionaries Global Media, do check them out because they are all done by some amazing people. Everything from wrestling to soccer to Dungeons and Dragons to video gaming and just general chit chat like we do. So yeah, we will see you real soon for another What to Talk About, Willis.
This podcast is a Mad Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.